As we begin this morning, I want to just direct your attention to the song that was playing briefly during the offering. Is my favorite rendition of "The Lord is My Shepherd." That's by Keith Green in the early 80s. I would encourage you to do whatever you need to do to get that song on your phone or on your computer. It's a wonderful rendition of that. Once you hear that song, it'll just move you. You want to listen to it over and over again. "The Lord is My Shepherd" by Keith Green, recorded back in the wonderful decade of the 80s. Foundations for 2019. People are looking for direction and protection. I believe that to be true. People are looking for direction and protection. Where will this year take me? How will I get where I want to be? And what's going to happen to me along the way? It's really what people are thinking. They say it different ways, but it's true for you and for me. Where am I going this year? And how am I going to get there? And then, as I'm moving along the way, what's going to happen to me? And since these are the things that we think about, the foundations that we build our lives on are really important, especially our lives of faith. And so these two areas in particular, the foundation of direction and protection, are really important for us. Last week we looked at Psalm 1, which provides our foundation for direction. And Psalm 1, if you remember, directs us to invite people into our lives who will strengthen our relationship with God. Another advertisement for community groups. Invite people into your lives who will help to strengthen your relationship with God. Psalm 1 also tells us to consult the Bible for our most important direction decisions. And also, Psalm 1 reminded me, at least, that we need to keep the perspective that your direction choices will either lead to regret or reward. Your choice. And it ends up by pointing to the fact that we should keep the perspective that our direction choices matter to God. It matters to God where we're headed in 2019. So Psalm 1 is our foundation for direction. As you go with me to Psalm 23... we're going to unpack our foundation for protection. So in your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 23. It's 382 in your pew Bible. Psalm 23, as we unpack this psalm, is our foundation for protection. And what happens sometimes when you introduce a passage to a group of people that have heard it many, many times before, you've already clicked that little button in your brain. Well, unclick that. Just listen today. As we look at it from a little bit different perspective, I know it's familiar to a lot of you, but with the idea that this is a psalm that gives us a foundation for protection in our lives. And why do we need this? Well, let me give you this statement. The number one thing that impacts our protection is our circumstances. The things that happen in our lives are the things that challenge our protection, the circumstances that come our way. We all have them, and those are the number one things that challenge our protection. And I believe that circumstances fall into some basic categories, like relationships. Relationships can be complicated. If you live in a relationship complicated free environment, I would like to come spend some time with you. Because relationships are complicated. They're challenging at times. They bring circumstances. You have the category of health, or your work, or your finances, or school, or your family. Each of us will face circumstances this year in these categories, but the idea is that as you do that, even though they're going to be in one of these categories, they're going to be specifically unique to you. It may be a financial challenge, but it's going to be unique to you, and perhaps no one's going to know about it but you. And I want you to hear me, that these circumstances that all of us will face and these categories that are unique to us, these things that we face will have the potential to disrupt and undermine our faith if we let them. If we're not basing our lives on the right foundation for protection, these things have the ability to really disrupt us and really kind of put us off center when it comes to our faith. So we need to be ready. So I was thinking about this message, and as Pam and I were talking, in our community group alone, it's been a challenging month. Michelle was part of our community group. We have people in our community group that are dealing with health issues. They have family members that are facing health issues. They have family members that are dying. We have people that are facing challenges in many, many different ways, all in just our little group. And at times, you almost want to chuckle and say, it's time for a new group. But if you're on my community group, I'm going to feel really badly if you all just jump ship. So you know who you are. Stay for a little while longer, please, just to make Pam feel better, all right? If I appeal to Pam, typically people will stick around, all right? So it's not easy, right? So these circumstances come. So what do you do to face the unknown? What is the known for the unknown? How can we best prepare ourselves to navigate the circumstances that we will face in 2019? Because I don't know what yours are. I have no idea. But I tell you, they're going to be in the category of relationships or family or school or work or finances or health. It's going to be one of those categories. So how can we best prepare ourselves to navigate these situations? I'm going to suggest for you this morning that one of the best ways to prepare for that, Psalm 23, the foundation for protection. Now, I would like you to look on the screen with me, because I would like to say Psalm 23 together. And you've learned it in different translations. I understand this is the NIV that we're using. So at least to follow together with me, we're going to read it on the screen. We will not go quickly. So as it comes up, we'll read that together. And I want us to start. And why don't you stand with me as we say Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You may be seated. I know that was a challenge for some of you. Psalm 23, our foundation for protection. I want you to know, as I share this information with you, some of the backdrop of research that I did was from a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller, who was an actual shepherd. It was written in the 70s, but it's an excellent book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, and it's by Philip Keller. If you want to access that book, that would be good to do that. So for hundreds of years, this has been one of the most popular Psalms that ever to be sung, to be shared, to be used for comfort and compassion. Just this is one of the top psalms. And if you were to kind of maybe quiz people or take a survey, what do you think are the most popular, or what is your most popular psalm? Psalm 23 is going to rise to the top. So why is it the case? Well, I believe that part of the reason why Psalm 23 is so prominent for us today is because it starts with a powerful relationship. Look again at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. It starts with a powerful relationship. These words were written by David, who was at least a second generation shepherd. At least. So he is uniquely aware of the relationship between a shepherd and sheep. And throughout the psalm, he is going to allude to the earthly imagery of a shepherd and his sheep. But David starts this psalm of protection by pointing and appealing to his spiritual relationship to God as his shepherd. And that's where we have to start. I would submit to you that, and I put it in your outline, that Psalm 23 is a psalm of protection that starts by identifying who the protection person is. Because I think that's important. I think it is. The foundation for protection in Psalm 23 is underwritten by our relationship with God. Let me explain it to you this way, with this statement. Our protection confidence is based on our relationship connection. Let me say it again. Our protection confidence is based on our relationship connection. Protection confidence comes from the one who is doing the protecting. Hopefully you understand what I'm saying. When you're looking for somebody to protect you, and they step up and say, I'm going to do it for you, you're going to look and go, well, can they do it? I mean, it's one thing for someone to stand up for you, or someone's going to, you know, defend you in front of the bully, but then you look at the person who's going to defend you in front of the bully and go, it's not happening. So when it comes to protection for our lives, the foundation of protection, David starts with this statement, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the person. That's the protection person. Who is this one called my shepherd or your shepherd? It's the God of the universe who chooses to take on the title of being my shepherd. And I'm not trying to be a little too macho here or try to be, you know, extend the point here, but I'm just saying, my God's better than any other God. He's not better than your God. If you have my, we're together, I hope. But listen. And people that choose no God, like they, well, there's no God. Okay, fine, but my God's better than your no God. Because God is my shepherd. I never have to look over my shoulder and worry about God not being able to protect me and protect you. He is the one who, through Jesus Christ, bought me with an incredible price. The prophet Isaiah says this, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned in our own way, like sheep. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Who bought us with a price? God did. And when he bought us with a price, guess what he became? Our shepherd, our protector. I found it interesting. I kind of knew this, but I didn't really think about it until I read it this past week. Not every sheep has a good shepherd. Humanly speaking, not every sheep has a good shepherd. You with me? But we have the greatest shepherd. That's an amen. The Lord is my shepherd. There are some sheep out there, and I don't mean human sheep. I mean like animal sheep. There's some animal sheep out there not having a good day today. You know why? Because they have a bad shepherd. Sorry, that just... That was bad. Some of you are going, that was bad. But you... See, unfortunately, you don't listen to these points. But it's true, isn't it? There are some sheep out there that they don't have a good shepherd. And we worry and we fret. We get all upset. Folks... The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. What a powerful protection person. Jesus called himself the good shepherd in John 10. But then the writer of Hebrews says this, Hebrews 13:20, a little obscure verse, but it says this, our Lord Jesus, that, what kind of shepherd does it say? Great. He's the greatest shepherd. Through Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with God, and they become the great shepherds of our lives. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. He calls me his sheep, and I am the special object of his attention and protection. I look over my shoulder, and the Lord is my shepherd. And you think, well, does he really even care about me? I'm just one of many. He absolutely does if you're in Christ. Do you have to worry about the protection person? Absolutely not. Because the Lord is my shepherd. But it goes on to say in verse 1 that this person is not only your shepherd, but I lack nothing. I lack nothing. But here's how we tend to look at this verse, and I think we're looking at it maybe from the wrong perspective. When we read, I lack nothing, we think, hey, God is going to provide every need. Now, that's true, but that's not really the perspective here, because it's not about the idea of need or not having a need. It's about the relationship. This is a statement of confident contentment in your relationship with God as your shepherd. Here's how I wrote it in your notes. I am satisfied with the shepherd's management of my life. This is what it is. It's a relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, which means he's my protector, but I also lack nothing, which means I'm going to trust God with my life. If you are honest, I would imagine, and myself as well, there's only a few people in this world that you trust your life to. Come on, right? I mean, if you, I would trust my life with everybody in this room. No, you wouldn't, and I wouldn't either. I've seen how some of you drive. Just into the parking lot. But I never have to doubt trusting God with the management of my life. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You know what in the Hebrew what the word nothing means? Nothing. And here's what it looks like for you and I. Seriously, this is what it looks like. I need to fight my tendencies to look to myself, other people, and other things for the care of my life. I want to do it myself. I want to get that from other people. And again, that idea of care from other people is not totally wrong, but if I'm seeking those kind of things, I'm missing out on my relationship with God. I will seek to avoid complaining, rebelling, isolation, jealousy, and self-sufficiency. I'm going to seek to avoid those kind of things because what they do is they say to God, I know you're my shepherd, but I think you're lacking. When I rebel, when I go to isolation, when I try to figure things out on my own, when I'm jealous, when I'm self-sufficient, I'm saying, yeah, you're my shepherd, but I got this. No. The protection person, the Lord is my shepherd. In the book I referenced by Philip Keller, he tells of a time in his life when he was taking care of sheep, and he was right next to another farm, had a fence and everything. And he said, one day he was out in the field and taking care of his sheep, and he looked over and there were sheep on the other side of the fence looking through. And he could tell, because he had spent many years as a shepherd, that the sheep on the other side were not happy. They were skinny. They had some you know, sores, and they were just looking through the fence. I have to say, when I read that, I didn't do that in the book, but that's okay. And they were looking, and they were desperately wanting to be on the other side because his sheep were taken care of. We have to be careful of the same thing. I'm here to tell you, the grass is not greener on the other side. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Stop looking through the fence. You have everything you need right here, and he's taking care of you. So many times, if I could just have a little bit more. I wish I had that. I can do this. I can take care of myself. No. The grass is not greener on the other side. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. Wow. You have the best protection person in God. Now it goes on in Psalm 23, in verses 2 through 3 and verse 5. I'm going to move now to the next part of our little insert here. I broke it down to two categories. God is the best protection person. He also provides the best protection plan. So as you look in Psalm 23, verses 2 through 3 and verse 5, I'm going to list some things for you. Here's part of God's protection plan. Now, think about it this way. Some of you in this room, at the end of 2018, even moving into 2019, but at the end of 2018, some of you had to decide if you're going to stay with your same medical plan or whatever plan you had, your benefits plan, or you're going to maybe change. Some of you had to do that, and you get the stuff, you don't understand it. I mean, it's really hard to understand. But what you try to do is compare. See, what are the things with the best benefits? What's the best plan, right? You do that, I get you. And so you're like, oh, this appeals to me, and this is copay and high deductible and all this kind of, great. So Psalm 23 starts off with God saying, I am the best protection person. And then he unveils for us through King David, here's some of the things in my protection plan. Here's some of my benefits. You need to read them. He says this, number one, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Number two, he leads me beside still waters. You don't have to write these down. They're actually in your Bible. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Number three, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path. He prepares a table. He anoints my head with oil. What a list. That's just the beginning, but what a list. And as I was listening and reading this list, this question came to my mind. Why was sheep care so involved? They need a lot of stuff. I mean, they need green pastures, quiet waters. They need to be refreshed. They need to be found the right path. They provide a table for them and oil. Man, sheep are a lot of work. Why is it so necessary? Well, there's a few things about sheep that you need to understand. Maybe you already did. I didn't know. Here's the first one. It's almost impossible to get sheep to lie down until they feel safe. Unless it's the right environment. I didn't know that. So maybe next time you're driving down a road and you see a bunch of sheep in a field and they're all standing, just yell out, "It's okay." See if that makes a difference. But it's true. This is what the shepherds tell me. Number two, nothing quiets and reassures the sheep more than seeing the shepherd in the field. And thirdly, sheep depended on shepherds to find them food, water, the best path, and the best land. All those things. So according to Psalm 23, the good shepherd makes and leads, refreshes, guides, prepares, and anoints. So the good shepherd is very active. He finds food, water, a place to rest, the right path, and he prepares the land ahead of time. All these actions that the shepherd does are great, but they demanded a certain level of trust. Eventually, the sheep were going to have to follow the shepherd. It demanded a certain level of trust. You with me on that? Even though the shepherd is very active, and the same goes for us spiritually speaking with Psalm 23. We read all these things. Here's what God desires for us. God desires for us to trust the protection plan he has in place for us. Psalm 23 lays it out for us. God wants to lead us and guide us and bless us and refresh us, all these things. And we have to trust him. Because what Satan does, and I see this over and over again, what Satan does is he uses the circumstances that come into our life to put us into a place where we doubt God's protection plan. And God says, trust me. I'm not only the best protection person, but look at my benefit package. Especially when you face circumstances. Because let's be honest, when do you ever look at your benefit package ever? Only when you get sick. Or when you have a problem and you're like, is this covered? Or if you have some other kind of insurance. The only time you look is when something happens. You want to know if it's covered. And the idea is, when you face circumstances, when I face circumstances this year, the idea is, will you look to God and trust his protection plan? He has put it in place for you. We need answers to these kind of questions. Where's God? What is he doing? Why is he doing this? And how will he help me? All these questions are answered in Psalm 23. I want to take you down the spiritual path because the psalmist writes about the sheep and everything that takes place. Well, let me take you down the spiritual path quickly and give you a list of your benefits package spiritually. From the Good Shepherd, and he is active. Here's the first one, providence. Providence. Does God ever lead you down the wrong path? No. Providence is part of his benefit package. Providence is a big word, but spiritually it means the governing of our lives by God. It's not merely the idea of God knowing about our lives, but the planning and guiding of our lives. The Good Shepherd sees your life with a spiritual and divine perspective, and mine as well. Providence leads me down the right paths. There's a song that says, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. When you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. We sing a song around here called Good, Good Father. And in that song it says this, you are perfect in all of your ways to us. That's a providence statement. Do you trust in God's guidance? Or is your trust in the calendar that you have on your phone? This is what runs my life. Augustine said this, trust the past to God's mercy, the present to God's love, and the future to his providence. That's part of the package, providence. Here's another one, purpose. The good shepherd has a purpose. Maybe the sheep are thinking, why this water? Why this pasture? Why this area? The shepherd had a purpose. So does your shepherd. He has a purpose. Here's what the Bible says about purpose of the good shepherd. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. James says it this way, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's an odd statement. Really? Bring them on. Love them. Joyful. The joy is because of what happens, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That perseverance finishes work so you might become spiritually mature. That's God's purpose. He's the only person that I can guarantee for you has a purpose of goodness in your life, no matter what circumstance comes. I can't tell you that other people will have the same kind of purpose. I can't guarantee that, but for God, I can. Listen to me. Your good shepherd, whatever comes your way, wants to make you better, not bitter. Do you hear me? Better, not bitter. Stronger, not weaker. More mature in your faith. A testimony to other people. Jerry Bridges, who is an author, says this, God will never allow any action against you that is not in accord with his will for you, and his will is always directed to our good. So the good shepherd, providence and purpose. Why is God taking me here? I may not know the exact detail, but I can tell you that the overall purpose is to make you more like Christ and draw you closer to himself and perhaps to be a testimony. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. A good shepherd just didn't randomly say, I don't really have a purpose, sheep, just to trust me here. He had a purpose. There's also the benefit of presence. God's presence as our shepherd. Here's a great verse. You might want to write down the reference. It's not going to be on the screen. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Humanly speaking, or animal speaking, when the sheep were a little afraid, they calmed down when they saw the shepherd in the field. For you and for me, what's part of the benefit package? God says, I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing reassures the sheep like seeing the shepherd. Nothing should reassure the Christian more than understanding that God's presence is always with you as the good shepherd, whatever comes your way. Whatever comes your way in 2019, you may be asking this question, where is God? Here's the answer, right here. Where is God in this? Right here. Where is God in this? Right here. Well, I'm out here and this is happening to me. Where's God? Right there. Wherever you are. The presence of God will not always fix your problems, but it will clarify your perspective. Here's a final benefit, at least what I see in Psalm 23. Folks, you're getting a great package. I'm just here to tell you. And here's the absolute great news. There's no copay. The cross kind of took care of that. And there's a little bit of paperwork, but it's just called trust and obey. Not easy, but it doesn't cost you. You don't have a high deductible. God doesn't say, I'm not going to be your shepherd until you do all these things, jump through all these hoops, and then maybe I'll show up. No. Here's the final one, provision. The provider. A good shepherd was a provider. That verse, you prepare a table for me, I thought that, I was like, what does that really even mean? Well, it is the idea of like a banquet. But I was doing some research, and I thought it was interesting that in places around the world today that are the most kind of fertile places for sheep are called mesas. A mesa is this kind of raised piece of land that looks like a table. And you know what the word mesa means? Table. So God's like, hey, one of the benefits of you being my sheep is that I'm going to go ahead of time and find a table for you. The good shepherd would actually do this. After the winter was gone and the snow melted, before he took the sheep out, he would go find the table. God's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to provide for you. Sheep also need oil. Really? Yeah, they do, because of insects and sores. They need it for healing. And I don't think it's a stretch to say this, that God provides for you and I a table with heaping helpings of things like grace and peace and comfort and joy. And he's like, hey, family style, just enjoy it. And we're like, oh, I didn't know. Well, come to the table. It's part of the benefits. He also provides healing. It's not always physical, but it's always spiritual. The good shepherd does this. Man says, show me, and I will trust you. God says, trust me, and I will show you. I'm the good shepherd. So a good shepherd, you still with me, folks? Oh, that's nice of you to say yes. A good shepherd has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a presence, and he's a provider. And this is all part of the benefit packages. But then look at me at Psalm 23 in the end of verse 3. It says, he guides me along the right path for his namesake. God's protection plan has a goal and a response. Here's what it is. God's protection plan brings him glory and should result in our worship. I don't want to miss this, because I want you to see that God is the protection person. I want you to see that he has an awesome protection plan. But in the midst of this, why does he even have this plan? For his namesake. The Bible makes it clear that God chooses and relishes the role of being our shepherd, ultimately to defend his reputation and for his glory. So that you can go out and say to people, God is good. God is my shepherd. And it gives God glory and his reputation is upheld. That's important. So do you see the danger of saying, I'm going to do this on my own? I'm actually intrigued, and I find funny these commercials that have been on the last, I don't know, maybe a year or so, by Allstate about that guy who's mayhem. Yeah, he just causes all sorts of mayhem and accidents. And one of the lines that he uses to kind of promote Allstate is to say, hey, if you have mayhem, you don't want to be stuck with cut-rate insurance, cut-rate protection. You're right. You don't want to have an accident and go, well, that's not covered. Really? I'm sorry to tell you this, but this year, you're all going to face some mayhem. You are. But you don't have cut-rate insurance. You don't have cut-rate protection. And because of that, you should be worshiping God on a regular basis for his name's sake. Why would you come together on a weekly basis and spend part of your time singing your promises or the rock won't move? You do that because his name's sake, and he's worthy of our glory and praise because he is the ultimate protection person who provides the ultimate protection plan. We should be bragging about it. I don't care what insurance, well, I do, but hey, you're not, well, I got Allstate, I got Geico, I got, oh, what a great. You need insurance. That's good. But spiritually speaking, I got the best. And so do you. So for his glory and honor, we worship him. Let me conclude this way, because we have two other verses we want to look at. Verses 4 and verse 6, this is just my perspective. Verses 4 and verse 6 of Psalm 23 are what I call the fine print of the plan. Every plan has fine print. The fine print is like, this is not covered. This is covered. And it's so small. It's just wrong. I mean, you put the readers on, you still can't read it. There's fine print that it tells you what's covered and what's not covered. You know what I'm saying? And then, even in that fine print, you might find this little statement. If you miss one renewal date, plan cancel. Even know I had a renewal date because you can't read it. So that's a fine print. Psalm 23 has some fine print. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's the fine print, but here's the great news. The fine print of this plan is awesome. Here's the fine print. God's protection plan is not voided because of certain circumstances. What if I face illness in 2019? Does that void the plan? You tell me. Thank you. What if I hit a rough spot financially and things get tough or I lose my job? Does that void God's plan? How about if that relationship that I'm in goes south? Does that void God's plan? Nothing. You weren't too sure about it. It doesn't. Isn't that great? That's the fine print. Not only the best person and the best plan, but the fine print is even good. I know some of you, because I heard you were saying it when we were saying Psalm 23, you were saying Valley of Death, which is there. I get you. No matter what circumstance we face, nothing voids the plan. Nothing. No circumstance voids it. And I love what it says. He is on the ready with his rod and staff in this verse. And it is true that shepherds use their rod and their staff to direct sheep and occasionally discipline them. But in this case, here's what happens. The rod, which was, you know, the long stick, that was used to protect them from the enemy. And then the staff with the little thing on the end, the crook there, it would be for two things. I want to bring Jim, my sheep, closer to me. So it just, God's like, you know what, here we go. Or maybe Marty's stumbled off the cliff a little bit, so I reach over and pull him up. And if you are in God's sheepfold, so to speak, and he is your good shepherd, he doesn't look down at Marty and go, oh, way to go. Hey, Marty, you're a smart guy. How are you going to get out of there? And Marty's saying, God, I was hoping you were going to help me. Wrong. This is in the fine print. It's not covered. No. Even though I walk to the darkest valley, you are with me. Then there's a second verse of fine print, verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's protection plan is not voided because of circumstances, and it has no expiration date. You're like, well, my insurance plan doesn't have an expiration date. Well, it kind of does. If you're not here anymore, you don't really get the benefits. Other people might. But my plan works in this life and in the next. How long is God's goodness and love going to follow me? How long, according to that verse? How many days? All days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, you should be walking out today going, God, you are awesome. You are my shepherd. I love this. This chapter was one of the things I shared with Michelle, her final day. I didn't know it was going to be her final day. She was not responsive. They gave me an opportunity to just sit with her in the hospital, just her, myself, and her breathing was rapid at times. But I don't know what God was doing, but I'm here to tell you, I'm sharing Psalm 23. And as I get to verse 6, her breathing begins to slow, as it almost like she's being settled in her spirit. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I said to Michelle, no matter what time you have left on this earth, there is no date of expiration for God's love in your life. Same thing for you. Same thing for you. I want to share some final thoughts with you. The Lord is my shepherd. The question is, how about you? The Bible makes it clear, either you belong to him or you don't. Have you taken a moment in your life to say, God, through Jesus Christ, I want you to be my good shepherd? Secondly, if the Lord is your shepherd, then this year, no matter what circumstances come your way, let me invite you to do this. Lean into the good shepherd. Lean into the good shepherd. and just enjoy the benefit package. All those things that are promised in Psalm 23. Do that. Because I don't know where this year will take you. But I do know that if you build your life on the foundation of Psalm 23, you will be firm. You will be safe. You will be settled in God's protection. Why don't you stand with me if you would?